I know it's here somewhere. Finally. Oh, it's time for the duck. You're listening to Dr. Bill, the computer curmudgeon. Take it away, doctor.
Well, it's that time again, and the doctor is in. It's time once again for Dr. Bill, the computer curmudgeon. And on the show today, we've got some things you need to know about. That's why I'm doing this show. And it's particularly frustrating. I'm looking at my screen on purpose because this is the second time I've done this show. And I don't like doing the same show over and over again because I hit the wrong button. Actually, I hit the right button. I hit the button, but it was to turn it off rather than on. You know, it's a binary thing. Ones and zeros. If you turn it on and you hit it, you turn it off. If you turn it off when you hit it, you turn it on. You see what I'm saying? I got out of sequence. And so I did an entire show, and nothing was recording. That's why I'm looking at my little thing here that says the correct thing. Which in this case is stop recording, because it is recording. So if I were to hit the button now, it would stop. You see what I'm saying? It can be confusing. Don't judge me. Anyway. It's the truth. We are proud members of the Tech Podcast Network. TechPodcast.com. If it's tech, it's right here on Dr. Bill, the computer curmudgeon. We're also proud members of the International Association of Internet Broadcasters. Ah, yes. Anyway, boy, am I frustrated. It does give me the more curmudgeonly aspect to being the computer curmudgeon. Several things do that. One thing, I went in to get a haircut. Go look at the last video and compare it to this video. I went to get a haircut, which I said I was going to do. And boy, did they go nuts. They trimmed my beard more than it's ever been trimmed. And my hair, they cut it all off. I mean, I still have hair, don't get me wrong. But, sigh, they really whacked it. And that's the thing, the lady's attitude when she was cutting my hair was like, eh, whatever. Ugly as you are, it won't matter. We're just going to cut it all off. It's humbling. You know what I'm saying? Anyway. It's the truth. She was like, I got better things to do while she's chomping her gum. Anyway. The blog. DrBill.tv, DrBill.tv, as it says right here on the screen. You really need to go look at the blog. Because much of what I'm going to talk about, actually all of what I'm going to talk about, is right there on the blog. Let me look at... Let me get it up here on the screen because there's so much I need to remind myself of. Let's see. That was this yes, and then there was that yes, and then there was the... Oh, yes. That's where we're starting. When you've done it twice, you don't even remember where you picked up. You know what I'm saying? We're going to talk about Windows 11. But first, I'm actually going to skip that and talk about Audacity. If you notice on the title card for this show, there's a little corner thing, a little angle there at the corner that says Audacity is spyware? And indeed it is. In the open source community, we're very sensitive to our privacy. As they say in the British Isles, privacy, we would say here in the good old US of A. I like privacy. It just sounds so British. And anyway, at any rate, wait. Right. I guess I'm sensitive to wait. Never mind. I won't make a joke at my own expense there. Point is that Audacity, the company that purchased the code. Now, I'm not sure everybody understands, you can purchase open source projects. Okay? In other words, the whole kit and caboodle. Particularly if the community is not, you know, supporting it as well as they should financially, because there is cost involved in developing an open source project. And Audacity has been around for years, and it's one of the most impressive free and open source projects there is. It's held up as a standard of one of the best open source software projects in terms of utility, ability to actually be useful than almost any other project. You know, LibreOffice would give it a run for its money because of Office, you know, automation and tools that you can use, like Word, Excel, PowerPoint type tools, Office Suite. Certainly in terms of acceptance, there are millions and millions and millions of users of LibreOffice. But let us not forget that LibreOffice is a branch off of the original OpenOffice because OpenOffice was bought by Sun Microsystems. The project was bought by Sun Microsystems, and they proceeded to screw it up. So a lot of the OpenOffice developers forked the project. This is what we call it in the open source world. We fork the project and take the source code and then continue to develop it, but under a different name, a different administration, if you will. And so that's how LibreOffice came about. Well, the same thing is happening with Audacity. Audacity has been very successful for many years. A lot of people use it. I use it all the time. It's one of my favorite open source packages, and I use it to do audio. I used it to do my podcast for many, many years when it was just an audio podcast. So I still use it for editing. I mean, literally, use it every day. Every day. All right, but here's the thing. There's a group called the Muse Group that bought Audacity. They said, oh, we're going to honor open source, and we're going to be so good to Audacity, and we're going to take care of it, and don't worry about us. We're not greedy corporate evil dudes, and we understand open source. Then they proceed in like a month or so's time to completely screw up all that and have engendered bad will in the open source community. Why? Because they made the software phone home. Now, that's a term we like to use to say that the software will send information back to the servers of the Muse Group as to who the user is, what their IP address is, and what they're doing with the software. And they're doing it at such a level that they're being required by the current legal standards that exist in terms of tracking young people, children under, say, the age of 13, which, you know, was a big debacle on YouTube. YouTube had to make their creators say whether a video was for children or for adults for that very reason. And so because of that, Muse Group has put a caveat in their license that says no one under 13 can use Audacity. Audacity is used to record and manipulate audio. Nothing could be, quote, safer for kids in that sense, but it's their phone home issue that's causing the problem. That's just one of many issues with the whole phone home thing. So the open source community has said, you people are evil. And the open source community, as you know, as a member of the open source community, you know that I am quick to say, Microsoft is evil. Google is evil. You know what I'm saying? We tend to jump on things like a chicken on a bug to be a good country boy. You know what I'm saying? So, we, the open source community, have taken it upon ourselves to fork Audacity. And even that has become controversial because the guy who forked it decided to call it Tenacity, which I actually think is a cute twist on the name. Okay. But he didn't put it to a vote in the open source community. He just said it's going to be called Tenacity. So now he's being attacked. Don't you just love open source folk? Yeah, gotta love them. Anyway, more to come on that front. Eventually, everybody will settle on a fork that is solid, and there are all kinds of videos out there, what's going to happen, and what are we going to do, and ranting, and gnashing of teeth, and all this kind of stuff. Don't worry about it. Somebody's going to fork it. It's going to be fine. In the meantime, there are people putting out videos that say, well, you know, if you don't want to have your information sent and you don't want it phoned home to the Muse group, all you got to do is unplug from the internet when you use Audacity. Well, see, there's a problem with that. You could sandbox it. You could unplug your Ethernet cable and do your audio manipulation. But as soon as you plug the internet cable back in and are connected to the internet and bring up Audacity, Audacity is going to send the information out anyway. In other words, they have a delayed transmission built into the code. So even if you sandbox yourself, they're determined to get that information. And that just kind of makes you go, why are they doing that? So I don't trust them. No. Evil corporate evilness at work there. Anyway, you got to keep your sense of humor about these things. Know what I'm saying? So that's Audacity. Now, there are other things that I want to talk about. Matter of fact, wow, I'm going to take the whole next show talking about what I found out since I started using Pi-hole. And, you know, I know that sounds odd. But it is an awesome piece of software that I really like. Helps keep you secure and private in your own internal network. We'll talk more about that. But what I have found out since implementing it about some of the security issues that are going on out on the web is mind-boggling. And I've only been using it one day. One day. Not even a full day. I implemented it this morning early, as I record this, and what I have seen in network activity from just my PC doing regular surfing and what it's going out and trying to talk to is fascinating. And I want to tell you about that, but that'll be on the next show. So stay tuned for that. Go ahead and subscribe. Subscribe to this channel and ding the bell. I've talked about that before. Subscribe and ding the bell. And then you will not miss my discussion of what I've discovered about network security and privacy based on my experience with Pi-hole on my own network. It's amazing. I'm telling you. A little shocking. Anyway, let's get into this whole Windows 11 thing. I talked about it a little bit last time. I talked about how people are fretting over the fact that Windows 11 is not going to run on older hardware. And that is true. There are already people that are coming up with ways to install Windows 11, at least the early adopter, you know, current beta, not even beta, almost alpha version on older hardware and aren't having any problems. Which tells us something. Think about this. This is part of my little opinion piece here. tells you that there's nothing inherent in Windows 11 that precludes it running on older CPUs. Microsoft is saying at this moment in time that only an 8th gen Intel processor from the 8th gen and above is going to be able to run Windows 11 when it's released, okay? And there are a lot of reasons for that, but let's just talk about that part for just a minute. Now, my current desktop is a 3rd gen. I know, it's old. So am I. But it's a 3rd gen Intel processor. So it doesn't have a chance of running Windows 11, according to Microsoft. Then my most recent computer, my absolute newest computer, is my XPS 13 Dell Ultrabook, which is a 7th gen Intel processor, which is just under the requirements for Windows 11. However, if you run the Windows 11 tool that I talked about on the last netcast, it comes up all greens. Okay? So that's interesting. In other words, basically, TPM works. It does have secure boot enabled, etc., etc. All the other things that Windows 11 is asking for. Okay? But it's still a 7th gen processor. Kaby Lake. Not an 8th gen. So that's interesting. Now, just between you and me, my opinion is that Microsoft is going to address this in some way because they've got egg all over their face and it's getting rotten. The egg is, okay? Now, my title card for this show says, "So Microsoft really does hate us?" And then I say, no, they just don't respect us. Now, see, this is the bottom line. This is why I wanted to bring this to your attention and talk about this on the show today. Microsoft doesn't respect us because what they respect, first of all, is just the green, the money. Okay, and where's the money? It's not with the lowly little guy out here by himself, sitting in his office, in his condo, you know, not sitting on a ton of money, just one guy, retired guy like me, one PC, in the sense of my desktop, right? Now, that desktop happens to be a very, very powerful PC. 32 gig of memory. Quad-core processor. i7. Actually, I think it's quad-core, but there's 2 per core, so it's like an 8. It's really an 8-core processor, I guess what I'm saying. So quad CPU, but 2 chips per, you know what I'm saying, 8-core total. So very powerful, 32 gig, terabyte SSD, 1660 Ti graphics card. This is not a slouch of a PC. This is a very, very, very powerful PC. Did I mention 32 gig of RAM? I mean, come on. I've thrown a lot of hardware at this thing, and it runs like a top. But it ain't going to run Windows 11. So Microsoft is looking at guys like me, the little guy, and says, we don't care about you. We don't respect you. We don't care about you. Because if you want to run our operating system, you just got to buy a new PC. Now, see, what they care about is the corporate world. The corporate world is already replacing their PCs probably every 2 years. Most businesses do. I know back in the day when I was working in the secular industry of healthcare computing, we replaced computers roughly every 2 years. Now, the hospital that I left is no longer doing that because the people that bought it are cheap. But the organization that owned it when I was there, they were replacing them every 2 years, okay? Now, if you're going to do that anyway, then you're not going to run into this issue. Microsoft's going to go, you're fine. And the corporate world's going to go, eh, we're fine. But it's the little guy. Us. That Microsoft doesn't respect. You see what I'm saying? I want you to think about your mindset here. Think about their mindset. Where you're coming from and where they're coming from. They're not trying to understand the basic core general one-off user. They just don't care about them. That's what I'm saying. All right? And what they're saying is, if you want to run our operating system and you want the shiny new stuff, you just got to buy a new PC. Get over it. Now, you're going to have to buy a new PC at a time when people have just gotten over the COVID effect on the economy. People have lost businesses. Small companies have had to shut down. People have had to stay home from work. They're losing revenue. And Microsoft has got to callously turn around and say, well, just buy a new PC. What do we care? You see what I'm saying? Do you see why this is going down so poorly with the general population? Microsoft, come on. Understand where people are at. Okay? Now, of course, I'm eventually going to upgrade. Of course, I'm eventually going to buy a new PC, no question. But to be forced into it in order to run your software is just callous. That's all I'm saying. Now, I posted a video on the blog, drbill.tv blog, where the guy, his title card says, "From the heart I say, no, we're not sorry." And they've got a picture of the spokesman for Microsoft talking during the June 24th rollout of, you know, Windows 11. So, this is the attitude that Microsoft seems to be portraying. Now, he really didn't say that, obviously. But Microsoft has not done a good job of trying to backpedal and fix this. They could have been so much more sensitive to the little guy users out there. You know what I'm saying? Told them, look, okay, you know, Windows 10 is going to run and be secure until 2025. That gives you several years to plan on upgrading your hardware, which you probably should do anyway. They could have just gently rolled it out. Or they could have said, we're going to come up with a way that you could opt out of the TPM portion or click on a button that will allow it to, so to speak, dumb it down so that you can run Windows 11 and get most of the benefits, but maybe not these other things we built into it. Something like that. Meeting people halfway, I guess is what I'm saying. But no, they just said, buy a new PC. We don't care. See what I'm saying? Anyway, I wanted to bring all that out because Microsoft is evil. I told you that. All right, the other thing I want to mention is, for all you cord cutters out there before we leave the air, so to speak, and that is, Next Gen TV has come to Charlotte, North Carolina. Now, that's a whole other ball of wax that I could talk about for several minutes, and I don't want to get into it in great detail, but basically, Next Gen TV is the ATSC 3.0 standard. We're currently running digital TV at ATSC 1.0 standard. So this is jumping a whole version to 3.0. But Next Gen TV is going to be 4K. It's going to be 5.1 surround sound. It's going to be amazing. It's going to be it's going to reach out further when they go full power. There's even a chance that I would be able to get the Charlotte stations that have gone NTSC 3.0 Next Gen myself here in High Point, because I'm only 75 miles away, but they're not at full power. If they were at full power, I might be able to actually get them. That's how good it's going to be in terms of improving reception, okay? And it's going to also eliminate this whole, well, not eliminate, but it's going to greatly diminish this whole deal of you barely can get a digital station, and so it's kind of flaking out, pixelating. It's going to really, really help in that regard, okay? I mean, it's a real generational change for TV. And they have started in Charlotte. The stations in Charlotte include WAXN-TV, WSOC-TV, which is ABC, WJZY-TV, which is Fox, WBTV, which is CBS, and WCNC-TV, which is NBC. These are the stations, the channels, that are right now running next-gen TV, but at low power, okay? So that's exciting that Charlotte got that. It's kind of frustrating to me because I'm in High Point, not Charlotte, and I certainly don't want to move to Charlotte. Too big of a city for me. But the point is, they got Locast, which I really am looking forward to getting in our area, and now they've also got next-gen TV. I wish we had it up our way. But at any rate, if you're in the Charlotte area, check it out. Now, the thing is, you got to have a special receiver for next-gen TV. It's not going to just work with your current TV set. And there aren't really many TV sets that have the next-gen receiver built into them. You can buy a next-gen receiver off Amazon for around $350. But there's a better way to go, and that's the Silicon Dust 4-tuner DVR with next-gen TV built into it. That's only $199. I say only, but it's $199, and you get the DVR with four tuners. You get the capability to run it under Plex because the Silicon Dust brand integrates directly into Plex without any tweaking or any special effort. And it has the next-gen tuner built into it. So for $199, by comparison with the standalone unit for $350, that's a great deal, okay? And if I were in that area, I would be getting it. But it makes no sense for me to try to get it now and just hope that I can receive it over my local antenna here, even though I've done a lot of work on the antenna here at the condo. But there's really not much chance it'll reach 75 miles with it turned on low power. So I'm not gonna bite the bullet and do it now, which my wife is pretty happy. At least you've got enough sense not to go out and buy $200 worth of equipment on the off chance, you know, that you get a Charlotte station. Tempting, but no. So there you go. Now I want to also mention PIA, Private Internet Access. If you're looking for a VPN, we're talking about security. We're talking about things calling and phoning home. PIA VPN is a very beneficial tool to help keep you safe on the internet. And they've got a great deal right now, a super deal. If you click on drbill.tv/VPN, you will see that amazing deal for PIA, Private Internet Access. It is the VPN that I use personally. So I would encourage you to check that out, and I did want to mention that to you. The other thing that I wanted to mention very quickly, we'll talk more about it later, is Linode. Linode will cut your cloud bills in half. If you want to go to drbill.tv/Linode, then you can check that out, and there's a $100 credit if you'll try Linode for free. Okay, so that's a great deal as well. Two great deals that I wanted to share with you on today's program. And if you've held here to the very end, bless your darling heart. Subscribe to the channel, ding the bell, so that you'll be notified about future episodes of the Dr. Bill the Computer Curmudgeon Show, okay? All right. That'll do it for this show. Remember, until next time, the doctor is out of here.
Bill, the computer curmudgeon, is a production of DrBillDaily.net with all the honors, rights, and privileges thereunto appertaining.